ready?
Oh, sort of.
Sort of? Is our recording commentary ready?
I'm home early.
Okay, so call this meeting to order. And we have roll call, please.
Laura Hine?
Here.
Bill Goggins?
Here.
John Kapler?
Here.
Kathleen McMonagle? Betsy Pringle?
Here.
Elsie Weber?
Here.
Rick Whitney?
Here. Okay, this is a continuation of the public hearing for the Houghton Transfer Station Mitigation Project. And we are going to allow additional oral public testimony to comment on things that have been presented since the last meeting. So anybody that wishes to speak should sign up and follow the procedures that we did in the previous hearing. And at this point, I'm going to turn the hearing over to Sue, our hearing examiner.
Okay. I first want to go, Mr. Levitt, I first want to talk about some documents that I see here in front of me.
Okay.
There are a couple of, it looks like, comment letters.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
And I also got just now a copy of the packet from you.
Uh-huh.
What I have in the hearing record so far goes through Exhibit D. And what I need to know is the documents that were put together here in this one packet. I think we agree that those will be one exhibit.
Mm-hmm.
And that will be, is that correct, E? Is that where we are?
Actually, okay, let me kind of go through what we've had in the exhibit so far.
Okay.
Exhibit A was the staff report dated April 28th, or for the April 28th meeting. Exhibit B was the Trimingham email. Exhibit C was King County supplemental information that they provided at the meeting. Exhibit D was a letter from Andy Held. And Exhibit E was a letter or packet information from Ray Schlinz's presentation.
Okay. And the two documents in front of me, the comment mm-hmm. letters, are also from the Schlinz's?
Yeah, and so what we'll do is the staff memo of packet information distributed on May 8th will be Exhibit F, and then the Schlinz letter dated May 11th will be Exhibit G, and the Schlinz letter dated May 27th will be Exhibit H.
All right. Okay. Is there any more housekeeping that we need to deal with?
I think that will do it.
Tell me again what you had as Exhibit E, because I'm not seeing that okay. in my packet.
That was the information from Mr. Ray Schlinz's presentation at the last.
Okay. hearing. And that is what I don't have.
Okay.
So I can get that from you
okay.
after
yeah,
the hearing.
They have the information.
Okay. Then with that, Mr. Levitt.
Okay. All right. Again, this is for the Houghton Transfer Station Mitigation Project. This is a continuation of the public hearing that started on May 28th. At that hearing, the Houghton Community Council requested additional information from city staff and King County Solid Waste Division. They requested a complete copy of the 2001 King County Solid Waste Comprehensive Plan, yearly tonnage totals for the Houghton Transfer Station, information about commercial haulers, including weight of vehicles, solid waste capacity of vehicles, etc., complete copy of the Memorandum of Understanding, including complete copy of Attachment A of that document, any appropriate background information related to the MOU, and appropriate staff members from King County and or City of Kirkland who were involved in the MOU discussions at, to be present at tonight's hearing. On May 8th, staff distributed a memo and closure that addressed the request by the Houghton Community Council. King County Solid Waste Division provided the Comprehensive Solid Waste Management Plan, Solid Waste Transfer and Export System Plan, Houghton Transfer Station Yearly Tonnage Information, 2007 King County Transfer Station Tonnage Information, the Houghton Transfer Station Vehicle Weight Information, Memorandum Understanding Attachment A, and a King County Letter regarding Houghton Transfer Station Position Statement. City of Kirkland staff provided information including various City Council and Houghton Community Council memos and Houghton Transfer Station trailer reports for 2006 and 2007 submitted by the Public Works Department. Besides Nancy and myself, who are representing the Planning Department, Aaron Leonhardt, Public Works Facilities Administration Manager, is here to answer questions regarding the drafting and final approval of the Memorandum of Understanding from the City of Kirkland's perspective. And additionally, Rob Jammerman is here again to answer any questions regarding the right-of-way improvements. If there are no questions for me at this time, I'd like to invite Aaron Leonhardt up to discuss the Memorandum of Understanding for you. I'll just put this back up to refresh everybody's memory on what proposal.
Good evening.
Hi. Could you raise your right hand?
Certainly.
Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you will give in this proceeding will be the truth?
Yes.
Thank you. Go ahead.
My name is Erin Lenhart, City of Kirkland Public Works Department. I came into this process in, I believe it was the fall of 2004. So some of the activities had already begun at that point, but I was involved with the Solid Waste Subcommittee from that point on. And at the time of the revised City of Kirkland position statement in November 2004, I was part of that group. The Solid Waste Subcommittee consisted of members of Kirkland's City Council, Bruce Feiling and Jeanette Simichek from the Neighborhood Association, the City Manager, the Public Works Director at the time, Jim Arndt, and Elaine Borgeson, who was the Solid Waste Coordinator. Much of the information that we provided was from Elaine's files, and she has since left the city. So I can do my best to track from when she was involved, but I know most about from when I was involved. So happy to answer any questions you would have.
Do you have any questions they want to answer on this?
One of the things that came up last time seemed to be a discrepancy, I think, between what the neighborhood thought they were requesting as far as tonnage and what actually ended up happening with the final memorandum of understanding. And it sounded like the waste management had come back and said, well, we're going to follow our regulations, blah-de-blah, but we're not going to hold it to a specific.
This is the tonnage as of a certain year.
Yeah.
King County would be a better one to answer that. I can answer from the perspective of getting the information from the subcommittee and taking it to King County Solid Waste Division, talking to them about what the interests of the subcommittee were as far as the trailer tonnage. And at the time, they had just formed their Metropolitan Solid Waste Management Advisory Committee, of which council member Jessica Greenway is a member, and now she's the vice chair. Kirkland was very involved in that group, and that group was who was tasked with the solid waste export and the transfer system plan. So that plan was, the purpose of that plan was to deal with things such as tonnage and what was going to happen with the solid waste transfer stations. At that point in time, the Solid Waste Subcommittee deferred to that process, and that's what King County said. Their reply back was, well, we have to handle the tonnages as part of this planning process, and the response was, since Kirkland and Councilmember Greenway were involved in that process, there was a certain amount of confidence that that would end up reflecting what the neighborhood wanted.
Okay, so basically, City of Kirkland came and said, we want 135,000 tons per year over a 10-year period, and King County came back and said, we can't necessarily agree to that. We have some sort of process in place, and it will be whatever happens.
Right, that it would be dealt with as part of that plan. Since Houghton Transfer Station is a part of their entire transfer system, they couldn't address those tonnages just with that station alone, from my recollection.
Do you know if Bruce Feiling and Jeanette, I mean, were people in the neighborhood then made aware that that one particular Proviso 1 was pretty much out the window?
I don't know. Unfortunately, I can't speak for Bruce or okay. Jeanette.
But it sounds like the letters we're getting, it sounds like people very much read this memorandum of understanding to say that they thought they were going to be getting this tonnage. And King County sounds like it's saying we never agreed to that. Is that what's going on here? Is that what you guys are hearing?
right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think in part, too, they made the comment that it's all dependent upon the economy. The better the economy, the more tonnage they have. And I guess from my standpoint, it's a truck count. You know, you put so much in a truck and count the trucks, and I certainly don't understand. I never did understand the discrepancies.
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying that either thing is wrong. I guess what I'm saying is it sounds like the neighborhood had an expectation that really wasn't. It wasn't ever made clear to them that King County did not agree to that tonnage. I think that's where part of our what's going on here is that, and that's too bad. I don't know what to say. That sounds like something fell down there. The other thing I would like to agree or discuss, Tony, I sent you that letter. Did you get my email?
Yeah.
Is the city thinking that this is their belief that this memorandum of understanding is being one of those neighborhood access modification waivers so that they don't have to do the complete half street? Is that why? Because they're going by the strict asphalt regulations, suggestions, and the memorandum of understanding, and that's why they're not going with curb, gutter, sidewalk, bike lane? Because they're deferring to the MOU?
If you like, I can try to address that question. Yes. Okay. Did you need to swear me in again?
No, you're still under oath.
Good. Rob Jammerman, Public Works Department. To answer the question, no, this is not the the modification process by which a neighborhood would vote. That's, first of all, it's only applicable to neighborhood access streets. Northeast 60th is a collector street.
Okay.
What is occurring here is a modification. Chapter 110 allows the Public Works Director to recommend changes or modifications to the street standards. And so Public Works Director and Department are, based on the negotiations, the MOU, are recommending a modification in this case.
But because it had talked about the asphalt specifically, that's why you are... We're asking for those modifications. Would you normally have gone for the full?
Right. If this MOU had not been negotiated, we probably would have required or asked for the curb gutter and sidewalk. But because that was negotiated with the neighborhood, the Public Works felt that was a justifiable modification request, and it does match some of the improvements further to the east. Some of the improvements are gravel, some are asphalt, but through the MOU process, we were hearing again and again from representatives from the neighborhood that they wanted more of a rural feel, an equestrian-like feel, although they're not anticipating equestrians down here, but didn't want the traditional improvements. we've heard now that that maybe opinion has changed, and that's understandable.
Regardless of the opinion changed, my question still has to do with the bike lane. And if you maybe, Rob, if you could talk a little bit more about why the bike lane was decided to be developed the way that, that it is, because and then the other one I have, and I don't know if you can do that or that's more of a planning, it's really the landscaping.
Okay. So the bike lane was not considered as part of the MOU. We all know that it's not mentioned in there. So we went back, as I said, after the hearing on the 28th, we went back and discussed it among staff, and I've also had the county take a look at what it would take there. In discussing it with the transportation manager, he asked me to relay the following. First of all, as we know, Northeast 60th is identified as a bike route, but because it's identified as a bike route in the non-motorized plan, doesn't say that then you have to stripe it. It just says it's identified as a bike route, and then you need to consider what type of improvements, if any, should be installed there. Typically, on a collector street with this posting for the speed limit out there, you would not consider bike lane striping until you reached 700 trips, average daily trips, 7,000, excuse me. The current trips on Northeast 60th are 3,500. So the other thing that would be considered there is that in order to accommodate bike lanes in both directions, at least along this section of 60th, it's likely that the widening that needs to occur to the south towards the park. Last, also for safety considerations at this time, the bike route, if you were to try to stripe there, one there would have to come down between the truck queuing lane and the through lane, and it would be coming downhill. And really, the major, if there was a need to there today for a bike line, it would really be more for going in the uphill direction. That's usually the first place that they're striped is when the bike speeds are slower. So based on all of this, the public works director and the transportation manager don't recommend that there be any striping installed at this time. And but in the future, as volumes grow and or as we can look at the whole segment from 116th to 132nd, be a more appropriate time to look at overall striping program out there.
But in the future, when you look at an overall striping program, will there physically be room to connect the bike lane all the way up the way it's currently designed and not striped?
Well, there may have to be improvements removed and replaced. There's some widening that would have to occur on the south side of the road. Right now, at least in front of the transfer station, the majority of the improvements are built on the north side of the road. So there's some excess right-of-way to the south there into the park that would need to be improved. And we've got that all the way up the line, all the way up to the Hunt Club, that where we need to do widening. So it really needs to be looked at and improved as a more comprehensive approach rather than a little segment approach, at least for the bike lane piece.
Okay, I'm sorry, Rob. Maybe let me ask again. Currently, the north side of the road in front of the transfer station, as it's planned to be developed, is there enough room for a future continuation of a bike lane without any further redevelopment of a bike lane on the north side of the property directly in front of the transfer station? Is there physically enough room for that to continue in the future without being modified again?
In between the two driveways, if we build the improvements as this has been proposed, the preliminary design, it appears that section may have to be rebuilt in the future. One of the things would be is that if the Houghton transfer station closes, that queuing lane that's there now would be then available for use as a bike lane or restriping. So we have just really a short section between the two driveways that would probably have to be looked at a later date. But where the queuing lane is, all of those improvements are built all the way to the county, the north side of the right-of-way there. So that asphalt path that's there now is against the right-of-way line. So it's rather wide there on the north side.
Okay.
So if I understand your question, you're probably concerned, or I'm assuming you're concerned about if something's built today, is it going to have to be removed or replaced at a later date?
Modified,
right. And I would be more concerned about that if we were putting in a permanent curb gutter and sidewalk. The asphalt pathway and curb that and concrete curb, extruded curb that's being proposed or that was agreed upon in the MOU is an easier modification for us at a later date if that's needed.
Okay.
I have some more questions on that. Go ahead.
Yeah. Can I follow up, John, on yours? Staying on the same track.
Yeah, on the same track.
Let him complete that line.
Go ahead.
So then with that said, with the complete redevelopment of the North Edge and some of the alternative curb, gutter, sidewalk configurations that are floating around in the city now, the flat curbs, et cetera, et cetera, is if with the same memorandum today, would the city consider the same design solution today, or would you consider more of a hard edge with a flat curb gutter and sidewalk? Would you still consider the same things today with a memorandum of understanding?
So if we were to start, well, I'm assuming then the neighborhood would be asking for a different standard.
Well, let me restate that. Yeah. Let me just restate that. Is it possible today, if a neighborhood wanted to keep a rural character, to not install curb gutter and sidewalk in the city of Kirkland? Is that a possibility?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. Perfect. Thank you.
My questions. I had actually sent an email to Tony, and it sort of addresses some of these considerations. Mm-hmm. But all through the solid waste plan, it discusses the closing of the Houghton station. Over and over again, they talk about 2016. So we're talking 8 years from now, closing it. So what happens when that thing? What's going to happen in 8 years when that closes? Is that structure going to, the new roof, that whole structure going to be left there?
Yeah, I would have to probably ask. I mean, obviously, King County would be the property owner, and so it'd be up to them what they would do with the site. And so I'd probably have to.
Is anyone here from King?
From the county could answer that question for you.
So, I mean, would the sound walls stay up as far as we know?
I would assume that as long as it's operational, those things have to stay up. And then
when it closes, dead. 2016. Are we just going to have this little dead zone over there? Nobody?
There'll be
essentially a fence.
But I mean, you've got your whole, the big structure. I mean, I'm just wondering if King County's, nobody knows? Okay. I'm just wondering what the future uses of that site would be. Yeah. And
well, I can tell you from a planning perspective, it's zoned park, and so there's real limited uses. I mean, parks and government facilities are about all that you could do in that particular zone. So, one of those uses, I guess, could be an option.
Yeah, so it might be possible to fill in those holes and take down the roof and make it a part of the park.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Possibly something like that. just kind of wondering, because that does address this whole street improvements and future visioning, because that's not very long from now.
Mm-hmm.
And so that brings me back to Mr. Schlinz's question: is why are they doing this if they're going to be closing this facility in 8 years? This new roof won't even be built for a year, right? And then, I mean, I don't know if that seems like a really good use of taxpayers' money.
It's really not.
It's not our call, yeah. But I'm just wondering. I mean, it's part of Houghton. It's part of.
Well, yes, I'd like to make a comment. I've been on the council for 16 years, and it's going to close now. Nope, it's going to close now. It's going to close over here, and it just keeps moving out and moving out. And that's all I'm going to say, guys.
Yeah.
That's healthy. Any other questions?
Can we talk to the...
I don't think I have any more right now.
One last one then for... So, Rob, I'm going to ask you again, since the Parks Department actually is not here. If in the event in 2016 the transfer station moves out and a redevelopment of the property happens into a park, would it be your supposition that the Parks Department then would redevelop the north edge of the road to work with those standards or not?
Well, just based on my experience with the ball fields that have occurred there now, I think it's unlikely that the county would be able to sell or would be willing to sell the property because of the methane issues. I know that was one of the issues that I had heard about with the north end of the site. So it's likely that, yeah, perhaps it is changed to a, let's imagine batting cages or something there. Depending on the value of the improvement that might occur there someday, that could trigger street improvements of the nature that's being discussed, the curb, gutter, and sidewalk. We none of us know what might occur there in 2016 or thereafter, but a redevelopment to a different degree would be reevaluated at that time for street improvements.
Okay.
And the county would pay for that?
That would be negotiated between who's ever doing the project. And
other questions?
Other questions?
Is there anyone else from the city that's going to be speaking?
That was it from staff. There's plus four here.
Okay. I have a couple of questions of you, Mr. Leavitt, and they actually go back to last time. But on page 5 of your initial report, or recommendation rather, and you mentioned this in your testimony, you're referring to, let's see, the history, and you're referring also to the permit, Roman numeral 3-89-90,
mm-hmm.
And you said something to the effect of, you determined that the department had determined that this was not a minor modification to the previously approved master plan, and therefore it was required to go through a 2B process. And I was looking at that document in the file, which is attachment 6,
mm-hmm.
on page 57. You there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it says that you have an A or a B choice, and I guess I'm just asking you, you've determined that it falls under B?
Yeah, we've...
2B.
Yeah.
Okay.
The plan director determined that there
right.
are
okay.
substantial changes.
And on the next page of your report, page 6, oh, this has to do with SEPA. Let's see, we're down on excavation of landfill refuse. And talks about the neighbor comment about trailer yard reconfiguration while exposing neighbors and users and so on to hazardous soil conditions. Your response is, as part of the SEPA determination, attachment 9, there's an outline of mitigation to alleviate potential exposure. And I was looking at attachment 9.
Mm-hmm.
And am I correct that even though you don't have SEPA conditions on this project, that what you're basically doing is incorporating all the mitigation that was discussed in the determination of non-significance and attachments
yes.
as part of the project?
Yes.
Okay.
Anything that's
okay.
Basically the applicant stating they will do.
Right. So that's incorporated as into the project and doesn't need to be a condition under SEPA. Okay. All right. That's all my questions.
Okay.
If there's nothing further from the city, then we'll go ahead and look at a public sign-up sheet and see who's here to testify.
Can we ask a county question?
Oh, certainly. Yes.
I'd like to ask somebody from the county.
If there is anybody.
Isn't there somebody from the county?
I don't think so. Is there anyone here?
Okay, well then.
Well, technical and operational.
Oh, okay.
Depends on what you want to hear.
Okay.
Well, can I just ask it then? No, he has to go up to the podium.
He has to come up and say he's going to...
Well, I think so. With the current roof, can you have a compactor?
You can't answer from there. We will not get anything on a tape, so you'll need to come up to the microphone. tape.
Recording.
Tape. Could you raise your right hand? Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you'll give in this proceeding will be the truth?
I do. For the record, my name is Brad Bell. I'm the operations manager for the King County Solid Waste Division. And to your question, we determined during the solid waste export plan, or waste management plan as it's now called, that there was not enough room at Houghton for a compactor. So there was never a plan put
in. That's because of the roof, right?
Well, no, there's just not enough room for us to expand. We have a significant truck turning radiuses and other things that we have to consider, and there were actually two transfer stations that are existing that we could not convert. One of them was Houghton, the other one was Algona.
Well, hang on a second. It says in more than one place in the paperwork that I have here, that's current, that Houghton, if it is not closed, will get a compactor. Let me find it. That's what happens when you mark too many pieces of paper.
While she's looking for that, Brad, are you saying that there's nothing that could be done to modify the turning radiuses and other things that would enable the compactor to be put in?
May have to defer that to our engineering group. Did anybody over there, could anybody answer that? Can anybody answer?
Okay, I found one place, 6-20 of Chapter 6, the regional transfer system. By 2012, all stations will be equipped with waste compactors to achieve operating efficiencies and prepare for the waste export. There are charts that also say, and up at the top of that page, there's a chart, Table 6-4, it says Houghton, install compactor, and then it says, this little star after, or B after, it says, improvements to Houghton are linked to the analysis of possible new transfer station to Northeast King County. Closure of Houghton may be possible if the new transfer station and factoria can be more efficiently serve the Houghton transfer station customers base. This is the only page that I really marked, but it's in here at least four different times that all of the stations are scheduled to have compactors.
I think that there has to be a little contextual explanation of that. That would be all of the stations that would represent our system in 2016 would be compactor stations. The current plan does not call for Houghton to be part of that system at that point. The current plan does foresee a new Northeast Lake Washington station being sited and built, and upon completion of that station in 2016, the Houghton station would be closed. That's our current plan.
Have the land yet?
No. Well, by the end of this year, we should start siting process. And again, the siting process is all part of the waste management plan as well.
So do you know what would happen to the property at Houghton once it closed?
No. There's issues of it being, a former landfill, and so there's gas, and there is also the excavation that takes place, that might have to take place. But as far as I know, there's been no discussions, at least at the solid waste level, about what would be done with that property.
Because it would seem dangerous to just leave those pits there.
We've just not discussed what might happen.
In due time.
There's another place in here that says that it's possible to redevelop Houghton on the land that's already is, the transfer station. There's enough room on that property to expand it.
Okay, well then I stand corrected. I thought that Houghton was the other station that we had determined we could not expand and put a compactor in.
Well, it says in here.
If it says there, then I stand corrected. That's the document.
All right, Elsie, look what you're doing. You're helping him out.
Well, I know, but...
All right. Rather than focus on this, I'm sure that you wouldn't be able to install a compactor without going through the approval process from us, right?
I'm absolutely sure that the city would demand that we went through.
Waste too much time on this compactor issue.
Again, it just to reiterate, in the context of what we see our system being by 2016, Houghton is not part of that system.
Correct. Let's move on.
Thank you.
All right. Is there anyone else from the county you wish to speak with?
Any other questions for the county?
Okay. All right. Mr. Schlintz?
How many minutes?
Always fix anything.
Thanks, Danny.
I'm sorry, you were sworn in last time. I was sitting here looking at the table.
Thank you.
Go ahead. You're still under oath.
You trust me then.
Same is true for Mr. Held.
This is a situation of promises made and promises broken. last time I gave you the good news that Houghton was scheduled for closure in 2016. And as the previous speaker said, that's the current plan. However, the county council has a history of reneging. As Elsie pointed out, they made promises, then they broke the promises. Now the question is, are we sure that the council will find it politically appropriate to make a rate increase in 2011 when to continue funding the construction? This is a chart from the transportation plan. Alternative one does shut down Houghton, but it requires continued funding for the construction of the new Northeast Lake Washington Station. However, the no action alternative, which they're quite liable to fall back on, keeps Houghton open. Sort of conditionally. However, this is the description. Houghton Transfer Station, Stola Compactor, Northeast King County Transfer Station, possibly build a new station with a compactor. This does not sound very good to myself and the rest of the neighborhood. There's also an inconsistency in solid waste documentation. This chart was taken out of their rate study. If you'll notice, Algona is wiped out, yet Houghton still is in the rate study till 2028. The problem with the compactor is that they have to take the trailer they have to take the trail through the tunnel and out about 200 feet and then back it in very precisely to make a very precise joint join with the compactor in order for the process to work. This is why Solid Waste wants to clear out this area and also widen the turn. If you're going to use the 40-foot open top trailers for which the place was designed for, you don't have to widen. You don't have to widen this turn. If you're going to go to the compactor with the larger trailers, then yes, you do have to widen. So my hope is that you don't give Solid Waste in the county the incrementally the opportunity to expand and improve the station. Give you an idea what the impact of Houghton is on the neighborhood. The red are the actual tonnages that have been processed through Houghton. This line is a projection that Solid Waste had in their rate study. In 2016, we'll be up to 224,000 tons. It's quite a difference from the MOU position. Another thing to consider, the average trailer that gets dispatched from Houghton averages almost 20 tons. The trailers are rated at 17 tons, so you have almost three tons of overload going out of the station and going down 116th and rattling all the homes in the process. And if you look at your let's see, I think it was one of the letters from Art Yeoman describes how the trucks come down, shake, and damage his house, and sound like thunder as they pass by. This is an indication of why he experiences that, and also the wear and tear on the city streets. Okay, I think I've given you about all the charts I have, and I hope that in your deliberations you keep in mind about the promises, and can we really depend on the promises now that the station will finally be closed. Okay, thank you. And I have some material that I'd like to...
Actually, would you mind, please, you referenced many documents. If you know where they came from, would you just quickly state for the record most of the reference came from?
Basically, they came from the Solid Waste the Solid Waste Transfer and Waste Export System Plan, Appendix A, and that's the area that L.C. Weber was looking at. Also, the 2001 Comprehensive Solid Waste Management Plan. That's the basis of this chart.
I can't see what this chart is. If you just maybe read the title on the top of it, please. That's the newspaper article. Thank you.
Well, that came out of the 2001 Comprehensive Solid Waste Management Plan.
It's on the letter that one of the letters.
I'm reading it right here. I just want to know for the record.
Okay.
Mr. Ward?
Held?
I'm sorry, held.
Andy Held, 5505 127th Avenue Northeast, Kirkland. I have to start with the distressing news for me that when I went to the planning department today and asked to see the file, to see that large stack of materials and the cover letter that was prepared for today's meeting, the nice woman behind the counter said, "Here's the file." And I went back and said, "Is Tony here?" The answer was no. I didn't get to see anything which was submitted for today until tonight, which is what Tony and I chatted about. It wasn't in the file drawer. Apparently it was behind the desk, but the receptionist didn't know where. So that was more than a little distressing for me. So that's the where I'm supposed to go to get this stuff so I can be a little more articulate. However, my primary comments, hopefully I can be articulate based upon much more historical materials. In part, I'll give you the biggies first. This, which I will show you big up there, sits under a bright light on the public works desk right there. This is out for every customer and every visitor to the public works department. Public works department to see. Let me show you, what this says. It's pretty darn unambiguous. New sidewalk and frontage improvement requirements for single-family residences. Beginning January 1, 2006, complete building permit applications received for all new single-family building permits and all single-family remodels or additions valued at more than $200,000 will be required to install frontage improvements along the property frontage. Frontage improvements include curb, gutter, 4.5-foot planting strip, street trees planted 30 feet on center, 5-foot sidewalk, and asphalt widening. There is a lovely color photo of a new home with those improvements provided. Kind of hard to tell from there what's shown, but it's a nice 5-foot concrete sidewalk and a planting strip and small street trees and a brand new concrete curb and gutter. Sadly, I cannot give this to you for the record since I need to put it back on the public works counter before I leave City Hall this evening. It's pretty unambiguous on what the citizens of Kirkland must do, and it is beyond the pale why the county is not required to do the same thing. At the last meeting, there were some discussions of, is there enough room for this? Is there enough room for that? And I didn't have the opportunity to answer that. What is typically required was in your packet of the last one, page 125, which is the pertinent portions of chapter 110 of the Kirkland Zoning Code. The copy in the packet is not very readable. But contrary to what Rob's interpretation was, as I read chapter 110, where there's a bike lane, it's required. It's not really negotiable. Given the designation of the street as a collector, it specifies sidewalk, curb, plano strip, curb. Where there's a bike lane required, you see that that first 6-foot portion is parking, then a bike lane, then a traffic lane, then a center lane, then it's all repeated. It surprises the heck out of me that there's not enough room. Okay, so we're removing the center lane and adding the queuing lane, and yet it's the same size right away, and there's not enough room. I'm confused. Having said that, let me state for the record that given the alternative of the landscape strip and street trees as a buffer to the pedestrians on the concrete sidewalk versus a bike lane, the preference of the neighborhood is we do the concrete sidewalk, we do a landscape strip, and then the curb. Given that the transfer station is going to close in the next 20-odd years, putting in the bike lane now, put in the sidewalk and the landscape strip now, and when the transfer station closes, the queuing lane can become the room for the bike lane. So there is a judgment call being made here, which is the planting strip as a buffer for the pedestrians matters more than the bike lane because the asphalt will eventually be available. With all skepticism about the transfer station closing in 2016, maybe it's 2024, but I reasonably believe it will close because on noise alone, there is no way you or anyone else in the city of Kirkland will allow a compactor to be installed there. And the county will not continue operations without a compactor once they start the export model. I wanted to make a few other comments, mostly in response to your comments and the prior meeting, answering the question. In almost all cases, even when it is not strictly required because of the value of the improvements, the Parks Department chooses when to be a good citizen and make those half-street improvements on every park development. Rick, certainly you're probably familiar with that, and if you take a look at 124th Avenue, just south of Safeway, where that new park's going in, and answering the earlier question, yes, if the Parks Department were to do something with that site as a developer, even not as landowner, they would be coughing up the bucks to do what the county should be doing now. I hesitate to suggest that piece of land as an indoor recreation area since that's just more traffic in the neighborhood, but it certainly is a park use that could make use of that facility. I'm just going to go down my list, which is not in any order. I apologize for not making this easier for you, but that one you can sort of ignore. It was just your comment. A biggie is the claim by the county that the choke point is the scale, that these improvements will not facilitate increased usage of the transfer station. That is just not true. As any user of the Houghton Transfer Station will tell you, the queue is at the tipping floor. It's cars and trucks backed up to unload. The reason for that is because it takes a long time. Doesn't matter if you're a commercial hauler and you can't go quite high enough up, or those pillars that form these car-bashing things in the middle of the under the roof, right? The roof is yay wide and there are these concrete pillars in, and you need to back through them, whether you're in your own pickup or, heaven help you, backing up your own little trailer or a commercial hauler. They're in the way. The cars, vehicles are going to flow through this facility much, much faster when there are no concrete pillars there. I'm under oath, so sorry, Rob. You're one of the people who commented to me that, yeah, you've been there, and the queue is always at the tipping floor. It's never at the scale. That's this Rob Jamberman back there. He didn't ask me to keep it private, so I'm sharing it. You know, that's just the fact. There's going to be more vehicles flowing through this facility once these improvements are made, and we discussed last time the improvements that can happen to the swaying technology, so the total throughput can be even much, much, much higher. Please seriously consider putting conditions on this use to limit the number of vehicles a day that go through the place, at least the number of commercial haulers. I mentioned that the key for the neighborhood is the proper sidewalk and the landscape strip. That's something material that's going to last a long time after these guys are gone. There was a comment last time about the sidewalk to nowhere. The fact is, the residences and the sites both east and west of the transfer station are going to get redeveloped. There are going to be homeowners who are going to be putting in concrete sidewalks and curbs when they do their improvements and they do their remodels. If this is not done now, the long term is going to be there's going to be this island of asphalt as opposed to a concrete sidewalk to nowhere. I'm going to skip that one, and I'm glad we didn't get any he said, she said about the MOU discussions. And that's where the neighborhood is at. And if you needed to hear from the people who participated in person, Jeanette can't be here and Bruce is still in Iowa, but I still have the mail from him that you guys got referenced last time. Thank you for giving me the time, and good luck.
Thank you. There are no other names on the sign-up sheet. Are there any other members of the public who would like to speak? All right. Is there anything further from the staff?
No. I just want to clarify one issue Mr. Held mentioned regarding the packet information. Email was sent out to all parties of record stating that a copy would be available at the receptionist. I gave it to her about 2 weeks ago. Unfortunately, I believe she forgot that was there. But I also did mention if people wanted to, I could email them, like I did to you, the copies of the packet information. It was also posted online on Friday as well.
Do you have any response to the request for a proposed limit on the number of vehicles per day processed by the transfer station?
No, I don't have any information on. I mean, if there is information, it's probably, I guess, buried in the packet of information that you got and on amount of trips. I imagine it's probably in the SEPA determination on how many vehicle trips.
Okay. Well, seeing nothing further, I will close the public hearing portion of this hearing and, in fact, close the hearing examiner's hearing. My understanding is that the community council will stay and deliberate and issue their recommendation. Thank you.
How long do you need?